You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention trust and will. Trust and will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Jonathan Healy in for Claire Byrne on this Monday. President Donald Trump's demanding other nations help secure the Strait of Hormuz. The US-Israeli war in Iran creating turmoil across the Middle East and shaking up global energy markets now into its third week. Borzu Daragahi is a Middle East journalist and analyst. Borzu, good morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to have you with us again. They're not exactly rushing to the Strait to rally to Donald Trump's call. In fact, I don't think any country has committed to this. It's not a call that is being well received, as we understand at the moment.
I think the attitude is you broke it, you fix it. So I think that, and it's amazing that Donald Trump has suddenly discovered multilateralism when it's a time that he's gotten himself into a bit of trouble, put the world economy on edge, and now he basically wants to share the blame and the risks involved in opening the Strait of Hormuz. I think a lot of these presidents, prime ministers, took a look at what Trump was asking them to do, went and consulted with their defense ministries and naval leadership, and they were like, no, this is a terrible idea to try to force open a narrow strip of water that Iran has controlled for, you know, centuries. And then if you look at the topography of that area, it's just these huge mountain canyons alongside the water, giving anyone at the top of the hill an ideal target to hit down below in the water.
If they don't try and come to America's support here, only an end to the war will open the strait. We know that Qatar has scaled back its production right now in anticipation of a medium-term war. It's not looking good for oil to be flowing out of the Gulf anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, there is the Red Sea channel, you know, there is the Red Sea, but Iran also kind of controls that because the Houthis, their allied militia, have a presence over the Bab al-Mandeb through which Red Sea oil exits, so they could activate that at any moment. You know, the thing for the leaderships of all these countries is to consider, and some are advocating for this, is some kind of diplomacy to end the conflict. But it doesn't seem like anyone is stepping up, really, except maybe Oman, Turkey and Egypt.
We know that there were further developments overnight as well. A flight that was going from Dublin to Dubai had to turn around in the middle because flight operations had shut down. There was a drone strike there. What's the latest from that region as they try to get air operations back up and running?
Yeah, they're saying that the Dubai airport is, you know, one of the most important hubs in the world, actually. And they are basically saying that they're slowly getting back operations to normal after there was a drone attack on the airport. You know, if anyone has ever been to the Gulf, they know it's just a whole bunch of little city states with a lot of airports. So traffic in that area is already pretty congested. And this just, you know, creates further shocks to supply chains, further delays, further costs, and those will be passed on to consumers everywhere.
What is the patience like amongst governments in the UAE, in Qatar, in all these countries that will have had good relations with the United States previously? They're looking at their entire tourism model that they have built up, their wealth model that they've built up, crumbling in front of their eyes. People won't want to visit. They have all of these airlines that are amongst and were amongst the busiest globally, now effectively at a standstill. How long do you think it will be before their patience runs out with the United States?
Well, not just with the United States, with Iran as well. And here's the really kind of interesting part is you might see like a split, like the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, they're saying they're going to double down on America. This is just encourages them more to kind of go to the United States and say, okay, we'll help you take out the regime in Iran, which is a really high risk venture. I think Saudi Arabia will be a little bit more cautious on that. But then you'll see like Oman, Qatar, and Kuwait. Basically, no, they can't do that. You know, Iran is their neighbor. And if they do that, it'll create factors and risks that could be, you know, reverberate for decades.
Israel, the other thing that I suppose is slipping under people's radar to a certain degree because of the concentration on Iran, Israel has begun limited ground operations in Lebanon. What exactly is happening there? And what does a limited ground operation mean in the IDF?
I think good consumers of news should know that we're in war, and that means that every single government is lying. So I think that that is probably a euphemism for invasion. And they're doing a ground invasion of Lebanon south to the south of Litani. They want to create a buffer zone, they say. Anyway, this will be perceived very, you know, further destabilizing Lebanon, because then you'll have hundreds of thousands of people going and, you know, flooding into the northern parts and the eastern parts of Lebanon. And that'll just further put pressure on the government there, further pressure on resources, and more kind of possibility of Lebanese state collapse.
All of this, in many ways, is Israel settling scores, using the opportunity we saw what happened in Palestine. We see what's happening in Lebanon. We know the animosity between Israel and Iran. Is this the most emboldened Israel has been since its foundation in tackling its enemies?
I think it has. And I think it's primarily because of the corruption of the U.S. system and Israel's ability to penetrate the highest echelons of power and basically turn a U.S. president into an operative for them, giving them carte blanche to rearrange furniture and do basically what they're doing is terraforming. They're redoing the entire Middle East because they have a president who's dumb enough to go along with it.
Okay, Borzu Daragahi, Middle East journalist and analyst, thank you very much for joining us. Donald Trump, of course, is preparing to host the Taoiseach in Washington tomorrow for the traditional St. Patrick's Day ceremony. Larry Donnelly's a law lecturer with the University of Galway. He's also a columnist with the Journal. Larry, you're going to have another world leader in the Oval Office listening awkwardly as Donald Trump rambles on.
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, I think, look, the main event of this St. Patrick's Day has turned into the press event where the cameras are there, the journalists are there. I think the focus will be obviously on the war on Iran. That's what the American journalists are going to keep their questions on. I don't think Irish-American relations will be to the fore. I do think, however, where it could get potentially awkward for the Taoiseach is if an Irish journalist poses a question in particular about the war, perhaps about President Catherine Conley's statement. That could be awkward for Micheál Martin, and I'm sure he and his advisors are tactically getting ready for how they would deal with that.
And how would you deal with that, Larry? Because, I mean, the president has said the normalization of war can never be accepted. Hardly a controversial comment in its own right.
No, I mean, I think the Irish people completely agree with what Catherine Conley has said. I think very few would disagree with what she said. Micheál Martin, in my view, should, you know, re-announce or say again his support for international law, his statements about Ireland's role in the world and his support for multilateralism. I think he can do that without at the same time saying anything negative about the United States and about this war in particular. So I think that that's what he will try to do as best he can. And again, you know, Micheál Martin's trump card in all of this is the billions of investment that have just been announced by Irish businesses in the United States. That's where I think he should keep bringing the focus back to, as well as the longstanding ties between Ireland and the United States. The bottom line here is he's in that room because because the relationship between Ireland and America is bigger than any one person, including Donald Trump. And I think that's where the focus needs to be for him.
What will be interesting, Larry, is whether J.D. Vance is in the room. You might remember last year, didn't he have little socks that he wanted to show everybody about how Irish he was? He's not exactly a fan of the war in Iran and has been somewhat conspicuous by his absence. If he's not there, it's another thing not to worry about. If he is there, he'll want to talk about anything other than the war in Iran. And that might go down the route of how much of a deficit there is between Ireland and the United States.
Yeah, that is definitely a wild card, whether Vance will be there or not. But I do think this returns to the bottom line, which is, why would Donald Trump or J.D. Vance want to pick a fight with Ireland? I mean, this is St. Patrick's season. There is a feel-good atmosphere in Washington, D.C. and in other hubs around the country. The Irish, as Donald Trump refers to them, supported them in large respects around the country. I just don't imagine that J.D. Vance or Donald Trump is going to pick a fight. And I do think that in the end, this meeting will go off without a hitch. But there is that element of unpredictability. We never know exactly what is going to take Donald Trump or indeed J.D. Vance's fancy at the moment. And that's why I think we're all speculating endlessly about what might happen.
Finally, Larry, you talked about it being St. Patrick's season in the U.S. We'd like to think in this country that we're very important. But has it waned at all? Has interest in St. Patrick's Day diminished the further people have gotten away from the Al Saud and more generations that have been born in the U.S. than born in Ireland?
Well, just looking at the video footage from yesterday, parades around the country happened over the weekend. I don't think the fervor for St. Patrick's Day has diminished at all. I think it's still a huge cultural phenomenon in the United States. But the broader question about Ireland and Irish influence in the U.S. is an entirely valid one. And it is certainly the case that we don't have the same champions on Capitol Hill or around the country that we once did. And I think that's down to a number of things, but in particular, perhaps the slowing of the flow of people to the United States. And that's why I think efforts to allow more Irish people to live and work in the United States are important. And I think it's also important that initiatives like Senator Mark Daly's to engage the new generation, the next generation of public leaders in the United States who have an affinity towards Ireland, I think these things are crucially important. What is for sure is that all stakeholders in the relationship between Ireland and the United States are going to have to double down on their efforts to ensure that we still have a relationship that, again, is the envy of the world. Many countries, a lot bigger, a lot more powerful than Ireland, would give anything to have the access to the White House and to around the country, the leaders of business, politics, education, etc., that Ireland does in St. Patrick's Week. We're going to have to keep up the hard work to ensure that lasts forever.
Larry Donnelly, law lecturer from the University of Galway and a columnist with the Journal. Thank you. Well, to keep up that work, we have sent ministers to the four corners of the world. One of them is Thomas Byrne, Minister of State at the Department of Taoiseach and the Department of Foreign Affairs. He is in Ukraine, in Kyiv, I believe. Minister Byrne, good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan.
What exactly is St. Patrick's Day like there? How is it being celebrated or even being marked, given that this is a country that is not 3-4 years into a war with Russia?
Well, I think it's more marking than celebrating. There's a very, very small Irish community here, but I think it just sends a very important signal in terms of our priorities during our upcoming EU presidency. I think I'm the first minister to visit here for St. Patrick's Day. I've been here before as minister, and I'm just here, I suppose, as a show of support. I think ministers all over the world, this is obviously a very different one. We're just arriving here. Already there's been a number of alerts on the phone in terms of missiles, etc. So the situation is pretty tense. But I think that it is a country that needs, you know, a huge amount of support from the European Union. And Ireland will be in the driving seat of the European Union from next, from the 1st of July. And I think that that is important. That we show that support, and this visit is part of the way of doing that.
Okay. Well, America's support of Ukraine has been inconsistent, to say the least. The Taoiseach has the opportunity to fly the European flag tomorrow when he meets Donald Trump. Is he going to raise Ukraine and support for them?
deal?
Well, I've no doubt that will come up in the discussions. I mean, the Taoiseach is over there as the head of Team Ireland, but he's very much over there as well as part of Team EU and as somebody who will be helping to set the agenda for Team EU in the second half of the year. So I've no doubt that those big issues will be discussed in the White House. And I think that it is an important opportunity on the range of issues that we have. I mean, first of all, in the US, of course, we have a huge Irish diaspora, not all of them documented. That is obviously a primary concern, the trade links that we have. The situation in Ukraine is obviously significantly different. We've very few people here, and it's not a question of celebrating.
Oh, hang on. Are we saying to the people of Ukraine, the city where you are at the moment, not our buns, not our fight, we're not willing to go in and fight for you?
No, I've talked about celebrating St. Patrick's Day. We have given very significant support to Ukraine from Ireland and through the EU as well, and we continue to do that both from a military point of view, which they need and are legally and morally entitled to, but also, of course, from a humanitarian point of view. I think we've done a huge amount.
And we have, but we're in the White House tomorrow, Minister. So what is the message that's going to come across?
I think the message will be what we've done. The message will be that, you know, this is necessary for Europe's peace and security, that this is necessary for the world's security. And you see all the interlinkages between the various conflicts at the moment. And I think that it is important that, you know, our voice is there. We're one of many. But we have been a strong voice for the people of Ukraine. And indeed, President Zelensky said when he visited us that one of the reasons he was prioritizing Ireland was, of course, he was grateful for our support, but also because of the diaspora that we have. That gives us an outside voice on the global stage. And I think it was meetings like this that President Zelensky would have had in mind.
The Taoiseach has said Shannon Airport isn't being used by American planes that are involved in the bombing of Iran. But there are US planes using Shannon. Do we know what they're being used for?
Well, they're not being used in terms of this conflict. It would be completely against our policy of military neutrality. There are strict rules there, and they are being complied with as to what Shannon Airport can be used for. Primarily, of course, Shannon Airport is a civilian airport where people go instead of a civilian to the US. So it has not been used for the conflict in Iran. It can't be used. And any use that is happening from the point of view of the US is strictly in conformity with the agreements that we have. And that's the way it is. And that's simply the way it is.
Okay. Well, we know Shannon Airport was used for flights that carried Palestinians being deported from the US, which people weren't very happy with. And the Irish government said, well, we didn't know anything about that at the time. How can we trust the United States that they aren't going to be using our airports for reasons that the Irish state and indeed the Irish public would be extremely uncomfortable?
Look, I think there's a long-standing relationship between Ireland and the US. There's a long-standing agreement that goes back decades and decades about the use of our airspace, about the use of facilities. And I'm absolutely confident that agreement has been complied with. I think the Taoiseach has said as much as well while he's been in the US.
Okay, and one last question. Again, an area that is not within your purview exclusively, but if we are travelling around the world telling them how great Ireland is, we have to realise that the people of Ireland are suffering as well with oil prices continuing to rise. What is your government going to do to mitigate that? We can't do anything diplomatically to bring down oil prices, but the Taoiseach did give a strong indication yesterday that they might look at excise. Is that a possibility?
Well, look, we're not going around the world telling people how great Ireland is. We're going around the world to build connections that will work for the Irish state and that will benefit us and benefit the countries that we visit, just to be clear about that. And yes, we don't have control on the global oil market. That's why we have to continue the push towards renewables. And in the short term, I have no doubt that if this situation pertains and continues to pertain in terms of high prices, that the government will take action in relation to that. The government has shown before that it reacts in an appropriate way to these types of situations that happened after the Russia invaded Ukraine for the first time. And now this has happened again in terms of prices going up. We have a few months left, I think, before electricity prices change, but obviously the petrol pumps have been hit immediately. So I've no doubt the government will respond. We've shown that we are willing to do what we have to do. We know what has to be done. But you don't just rush in, because first of all, you mightn't do enough. Or secondly, maybe the thing mightn't be as protracted as maybe people fear. So I think we will look at this, we will examine it. But at the same time, by the way, these St. Patrick's Day visits are because we never take our economic success for granted. We are out there trying to encourage investments, trying to encourage connections between Ireland and other countries. That's why we visit countries all over the world, because we're small open economy trading with the rest of the world. I think these visits really serve to do all that. Right. And I have to say, being in Poland yesterday, the Irish connections there makes you very proud. And to be received here in Kyiv this morning as well, in an awful situation for them. Already, as I said, a number of bomb alerts this morning since my arrival. It's a very difficult situation for them, but we'll continue to show solidarity to them and use our voice at a global level and at an EU level as well, particularly with our presidency, to show support to Ukraine.
There isn't a day that is more suited to wielding our soft power than St. Patrick's Day. Thomas Byrne, Minister of State at the Department of Taoiseach, thanks very much for joining us on the line from Kyiv this morning.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.